Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, as we are bathed in the new light of your incarnate word, that what shines by faith in our minds may also blaze out in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Before I begin the prepared homily for today, I am moved to take a few moments to reflect upon the events of the past few days, specifically that which occurred Friday night in Dallas, Texas. The horrible, tragic, needless loss of 5 dedicated police officers. These officers were assisting peaceful, law-abiding protesters in the implementation of their constitutionally given right to be there. No anger was displayed. No intolerance to order was observed. One may have been tempted to say that what was then occurring in Dallas to be a model for other such gatherings. And then the world changed forever as the shots rang out. What did the crowds do when the shooting began? They ran for safety, which is appropriate. But what did the police officers on the scene do? Ran toward the scene of conflict, not fully or completely understanding the true nature of the situation at that time. These officers, without hesitation, moved into the danger zone, the conflict zone, indeed the battle zone, and did so without regard for their own life or personal safety. The confounding irony, the incongruity in this instance is that those police officers were placing their very lives on a line to protect those who were protesting against them. And 5 of them were shot and killed. So, what are we to do? We are to pray. Pray. And do. The prayer just offered contains the following: for what shines by faith in our minds may also blaze out in our lives. We are to shrug off the cloak of intimidation. We are to shrug off the insecurity and hesitation so often used as reasons for silence and inaction. We are called to stand up, to drown out the voices that perpetuate dysfunction and disorder. We are called out to put our faith to work, to make our voices heard, to make our actions seen. Lately, there has been a huge movement of a positive and grateful attitude toward our military service members and veterans. We often see or do ourselves acknowledgement of their service by walking up to them, shaking their hand, and saying, "Thank you for your service." How many military men are here this morning? Thank you for your service. Thank you. And I strongly believe that we owe it to our police officers this same respect. May I suggest that the next time you see a police officer, currently serving or retired, to thank that person for their service, their willingness to place their lives on the line to protect our lives and constitutional rights. We have with us this morning some, I don't know if we have any active police officers, but we do have some retired Jim, could you please stand? Anyone else here this morning that I can't see right from here? Jim, God bless you and thank you. In the context of what was just shared with you, when I read the scripture lessons for today, the words of the Old Testament lesson jumped off the page for me. And it is with this lesson that I will spend with you just a few moments of time. Today's selection from the fifth book of Moses, commonly called Deuteronomy, is a part of the third and last sermon Moses would preach to the Hebrew people of the exile. At this point in the history of Moses' ministry to the people of Israel, his ministry was drawing to a close. After all, he is now 120 years old. Does that mean I have nearly 40 more years to go in my ministry? He knows that he will not be the one to take the Hebrew people into the promised land. That distinction soon will be given to Joshua. The message of Moses, though, is one of great urgency, urging the people of Israel to accept the covenant of God. Allow me to set the scene for you. You and your spouse decided that you are going out to eat. And as you are driving down the street, you say, "Sweetheart, where would you like to eat?" She says, "Oh, I don't care, you pick." And you respond, "No, I picked the last time, you choose." Sound familiar? She says, "No, I don't care, just pick anywhere." And you say, "Okay, fine, let's go to so-and-so's restaurant." And as you pull into the parking lot, you hear in your right ear, "I don't like this place." So as you peel out of the parking lot, you say, "Well then, where do you want to go?" And she says, "Are you ready for this?" "I don't care." Now, if you were to label a theme for this story, making or not making choices, or decision-making 101, probably are the two better of the choices. And this is exactly the message contained in today's text from Deuteronomy. Choices, making decisions, not riding the fence of indecision. And quite often we read scripture like we read instant coffee in 30 seconds or less. And this morning, as scripture states, let us take a moment to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the message the Lord has for us. And if you're inclined to do so, I invite you to follow along with me by turning to page 315 in a pew Bible. 315. This is chapter 30 of the fifth book of Moses, commonly known as Deuteronomy. In our Old Testament reading that we heard read this morning by Michael with verse 9, began with verse 9. However, to understand why verse 9 begins with a term then, we need to go back to verse 8. And verse 8 reads, "And you shall obey the Lord and observe all his commandments which I command you today." We, God's people, are to obey the Lord and to observe his commandments. Here, Yahweh God places before us a well-known and well-understood if-then situation. You might even interpret what was just read as a cause-and-effect situation. Verse 8 stated, when we obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, then, notice the beginning of verse 9, then, chapter 30, verse 9 of Deuteronomy. Did I have the wrong page? Forgive my humanness. Okay, what is it, 317? Two. Okay, whatever it is. I'll take your word for it. Okay, are we on the same page? Thank you, Lord. Okay. No wonder 8 o'clock looked at me kind of funny this morning. Okay. Okay. At least my wife Barbara appreciates that one. Okay. All right. So given now what was said in verse 8, okay? Verse 9 begins with, then. If you do what's before, then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly. Will. This is not just any old easy-to-make statement, but a promise. A promise from God. And Yahweh God does not make idle or false promises such as though we are hearing and will continue to hear during this presidential election season. Prosper means more than just doing well. It means to have some left, to have more than enough, to have more than what is needed. For people who are living on the desert, who have very little to call their own, these words of Moses offer great hope. And offer great hope for you and me as well. Back to verse 9. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly and in all work of your hand. What a promise. And work here does not necessarily mean physical labor, but related to accomplishments, achievements of what has been done. And not only blessings of the work of our hands, but also continuing now with verse 9, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, in the produce of your ground, in other words, all of our labors together, will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. Again, what a promise. But there's a caveat, a stipulation. There are stipulations. All of the above will come to pass only if, verse 10, if you obey the Lord your God. If, often said to be the biggest two-letter word in the dictionary. If only I'd done this, or only if I had done that. If denotes the making of choices, the setting of conditions and stipulations as prerequisite to choices. So what was stated in verses 9 and 10, what God promised to be realized only if the Lord your God is obeyed. If you obey the Lord your God. Obey. Some of the relative meanings to obey as used here may surprise you. Obey to hear, not just as noise in our ears, but to deeply understand, to give heed to be obedient, to proclaim the Lord your God. And to keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. Keep does not always mean to hold on to or grasp, but in our text it means to preserve the Lord's commandments, to maintain his commandments, to perform his commandments, to protect his commandments, to secure, to take care of his commandments, to guard his commandments. All are appropriate here, for we do want to preserve, maintain, protect, and perform the Lord's commandments and statutes, his laws and ordinances, which are appointed by God for us to do, which are written. More than just the use of a stylus or in the tablet, but decreed, recorded, inscribed, prescribed, as in a prescription for medication. Written in the book of the law. If all of what has been done and said before now comes down to this. if you what? Turn. If you turn. Turn to the Lord. I found the Hebrew meaning turn as used in this context to be quite interesting. Turn to the Lord actually means to turn back to the Lord, return to the Lord, bring back, make a 180-degree turn around. So one may ask, turn from what to what? Turn from the ways of the world to the ways of the Lord. And we are to turn to the Lord your God with all your heart. Moses is not referring to that ticker lying in your chest. But Moses is referring and making reference to what makes you tick. Your intelligence, your mind, your thoughts, your understanding. In 1688, Benjamin Harris of Boston published a well-received 90-page The New England Primer. First reading primer of the American colonies. And while learning the alphabet, young students also experienced learning basic biblical truths. For example, for the letter A, the student learned, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. For the letter B, the student learned, heaven to find, the Bible mind. For C, Christ crucified, for sinners died. And my eyes fell upon the letter H. It said, my book, capital B, the Bible, my book and heart must never part. What an awesome teaching those children of that period in time received just by learning the alphabet. And if you remember nothing today, I think remember the letter H. My book and heart never part. You are to turn to the Lord with all your heart and soul. Soul referring to your whole living being, your person, all that is within you that lives, with all your spiritual, emotional, mental strength. One question by a Pharisee is recorded in Matthew 22. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You might find some versions that will add with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So let me ask you this question. If you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, what's left? Nothing. Total, complete nothing. I mean, total, complete commitment. So this is the biggest choice we have. This is the biggest choice for yours to take. It's also the biggest choice for you to reject. One thing is for certain. One thing is for certain. God's salvation is not another entitlement benefit. You must make a commitment. A total commitment. Not a lukewarm, not your convenience commitment. Total commitment. And can you say, do you have the right to say, oh, this choice is too hard for me. Oh, I can't do this. That's too much for me. No, you cannot. Listen to what Moses then told the people as recorded in verse 11. For this commandment which I what? Command. A command is a charge, a commission, an order. Any military personnel here this morning? Now, you saw hands before, okay? I got a question for you guys, okay? What happens when you disobey a direct order of a higher-ranking officer? We know, don't we? So, who is the divine five-star general speaking here? God the Father through Moses. And if we obey his direct order, will there be appropriate consequences? You betcha, big time. You know there will be. And I believe we are seeing the results of this nation's disobedience in the events of the past few days. Through Moses, Yahweh God states, "For this commandment which I command you today is not difficult." Look at verses 12, 13, and 14. Here, we're going to read about an attempt deflection of our responsibilities away from ourselves. We said, "Oh no, this is too hard. Somebody else can do it, okay? This is too hard. We're going to leave it up to some." No, wait a minute. What happened to you? Look at verse 11, or 12 rather. "It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?'" You see the deflection? Verse 13, "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear that we may observe it?'" Human nature, we deflect. We always, you know, we don't want to be held responsible. So what does Moses say in verse 14? And it's very important. "But the word is very near to you." You don't have to look overseas. Go look upon the stars in the heavens and so forth. It's near to you, so near to you, it's in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. You are baptized Christians, baptized with the Holy Spirit, marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have the same Spirit within you that Paul and Moses and all the other apostles and the bishops and all other clergy and so forth in this world have. You have the same Spirit. Robert Frost's poem, "The Road Not Taken," describes two roads discovered while walking in the woods. Frost knows he can only take one. Which one does he take? Listen to the poem. "I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere, ages and ages hence, two roads diverge in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." Jesus shared that the narrow road is the gate leading to salvation, the road less traveled by. Moving through that less traveled gate, to quote Frost, has made all the difference. Our forefathers designed a process of transitional leadership based upon the principles of Judeo-Christian faith. And by and large, this nation has lived and continues to live these principles. But from Deuteronomy, we learn that there is indeed an if-then cause-and-effect phenomenon God has put in place. Yahweh God said through Moses, "Love me, obey my commandments. If you do, blessings will flow. If you do not, then strife follows." National polls strongly indicate that the citizenry are not a happy people. It is not too late to turn this condition around. Let me pose this question to you. Would what happened in Dallas, as well as in other cities, have occurred if this nation returned to its Judeo-Christian principles upon which it was founded? This homily opened with a statement that our message today was about choices. The issues for the Israelites, which is the same issues for you and me, is that we are to desire salvation, that we are to desire the blessings of a loving God with all our hearts. And that is to be our desire, to willingly and joyfully live obedience to His word. The choice is simple and yet profound. The choice is easy to understand and not complicated. Choice is yours. Which one will it be? You have a choice to make. The dysfunctional world or salvation and eternity with the Lord, with His blessings and prosperity. You have a choice to make. Right versus wrong. Truth versus lies. Which one will it be? Now to God, who is forever Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.